What a week. Leaving my retreat on Tuesday, I was planning a very different sermon, but reality thrusts itself on us. Who would have imagined that I would have to address an attempted coup in the Capitol, instigated by our own president, with some rioters ready to kidnap and hang the vice president and other leaders for not bending to the lies fed to them? I can hear some of you saying, Berto, stay out of politics. I believe churches, pastors from the pulpit should never be involved in party politics, supporting and opposing political candidates. That's a very dangerous path. However, we now have passed the election. There are no more candidates. But what we have witnessed this week exceeds party politics. This is above and beyond. Over and above, this is a deeply moral and spiritual matter. Politics is just the outward appearance. What we witness on Wednesday is the corruption of so many values that define the aspirations of this nation. And more importantly, our common humanity, decency. This has gone way too far. This is not politics. These are matters that touch the soul and character of our nation. For the church to remain silent now would be to collude with all of this. I honestly could not be a member of a church that was silent at this moment in our history. Our bishop, Bishop Gregg, reflected, I don't know about you, but in these last years, I know many have said something like, surely this will be enough. In all that little time, little has changed. In all that time, many have said, these are just words. He's just like that. He speaks in hyperbole. He is unusual and crude, but, and on and on. I tried to listen as uneasy as that always made me. And I would step back and think, maybe this will be the last time. Far too many of us did. I confess to you I did for too long. And I regret it now. I will not be doing it again. I feel the same way. I've tried not to be too political, to respect differences. I wonder if I have failed in my duty as your pastor to be clearer. And for that, I ask your forgiveness. This has gone way too far. Our presiding bishop has signed an open letter to Vice President Pence, together with 24 other top leaders of denominations, stating, time has come for the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, to resign his position immediately. If he is unwilling to resign, we urge you to exercise the options provided by our democratic system. I have joined in signing that same letter from the National Council of Churches. Bishop Gregg wrote yesterday a very stern statement around these events and the role of the president in them, especially as they reveal the insidious reality of white supremacy in our nation. White supremacy that does not accept him as a white man in the United States. He also says, we will have to hold this next administration equally accountable. They are no more exempt from this culture that is part of our common life now than any of us. We will have to hold ourselves accountable too. The work of changing this society, for healing it, is work for each and every one of us. No person, no one party, no one ideology can change it. I commend to you the meditation and prayer, these five statements from our presiding bishop and our bishop that lay out the seriousness through which we are living. They are included in our e-news for this week, and we will be studying them on Thursday at 1 p.m. in our spiritual formation group. I have heard over and over, this is not who we are. Really? I think we need to be more honest. I believe that what has happened reveals who we are. It is very painful, but I think we need to look at ourselves. Yes, us, me, you, not only the president and the extreme rioters, but each one of us. The evil we have witnessed, the lies, the hate, the justified violence are not only from Wednesday, but the violence that has been part of our history as a country. Violence to the indigenous peoples of this land, Africans brought as slaves, to women, to LGBTQ people, to people differently abled, the poor, the immigrants, non-Christians, etc. What we witness is simply an extension of all this. And we have all participated in this or benefited from it, we like it or not. Sadly, I saw so-called Christians inciting and present in the attack on the Capitol building. With horror, I saw signs saying God, guns, and Trump, or the Christian flag being flown by a rioter in the floor of Congress. As Christians, we cannot remain silent to this perversion of our faith, corruption of the gospel. It is revealing that all of this happened on the Feast of the Epiphany. Merriam-Webster defines Epiphany beyond the usual religious meaning as a usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something, a revealing scene or moment. What a great definition. I think that is precisely what happened. It was an epiphany. It is revealed to us who we are, and let us not point fingers. All of us, some way or another, are involved in this culture. We had a friend from Kenya called us to say, how are y'all doing? But to also express the hurt this will cause them, especially autocrat leaders who will feel entitled to ignore the will of the people and continue their abuses. I am deeply angered, saddened, and afraid by all of this. Not only for what happened on Wednesday, but what has been happening for so long. 3 years ago, church elders, together with presiding bishop Michael Curry, issued a statement titled Reclaiming Jesus, which I've shared many times with you. And it mentions six practices and policies by political leaders which dangerously corrode the soul of the nation and deeply threaten the public integrity of our faith. I want to underline once more just one of them today. I think the six of them are mighty relevant, but just one. They say, we reject the practice and pattern of lying that is invading our political and civil life. Politicians, like the rest of us, are human, fallible, sinful, and mortal. But when public lying becomes so persistent that it deliberately tries to change facts for ideological, political, or personal gain, the public accountability is threatened, undermined. The regular purveying of falsehoods and consistent lying by the nation's highest leaders can change the moral expectations within a culture. The accountability for a civil society and even the behavior of families and children, the normalization of lying presents a profound moral danger to the fabric of society. I was struck by Senator Mitt Romney's words on Wednesday. He said, the objectors, the Congress people, have claimed they are doing so on behalf of the voters, have an audit, they say, to satisfy the many people who believe that the election was stolen. Please, continues Mitt Romney, no congressional-led audit will ever convince those voters, particularly when the president will continue to claim that the election was stolen. The best way we can show respect for the voters who are upset is by telling them the truth, that this is the burden and the duty of leadership. Those words really struck me. The burden and the duty of leadership is truth. We need to remember that Donald Trump started his political career by sowing doubts about the birth certificate of Barack Obama. Bishop Rickle said, lies, gaslighting us all. We have entered a selfish, pampered, inconsiderate time based in falsehood, amidst a total lack of curiosity and even disdain for facts. Lying is not something from the right or from the left. It is amazing how many conspiracy theories are in our country, with the lack of facts are upheld by so many on all political sides. I'll mention just a couple, and some of you might say, I believe that one is true. Did we land on the moon? Is the earth flat? Vaccines, global warming, QAnon, 9/11, and so many others. When a culture builds itself on so many lies, we are building on a very dangerous foundation. It is worth to remember Jesus' word in the Gospel of John. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't really hear my words. Your father is the devil. You are his children and you want to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has never stood for the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever that liar speaks, he speaks according to his own nature, because he's a liar and the father of liars. I was originally going to talk about the spiritual power of the sacraments, the baptism, the rituals of the church that aid us in the path of transformation of hearts and minds in God's image. And I would like to end pointing to this nonetheless. In the midst of all the evil, the lies, the cruelty, the violence, we Christians need more than ever the spiritual disciplines and practices that can truly transform our hearts and thus the world. A church as merely a social club and as an entertaining event on Sundays is not going to cut it. If our church, our spiritual practice, do not lead us into the arduous work, and it's arduous, of transformation, they are worthless. We have witnessed the amount of harm and damage a narcissistic and egotistical individual can sow in our world, and sadly with the support and encouragement of many Christians. This is true not only in the position of a president, but in all leadership positions, households, schools, work, churches, organizations, and politics. I ask myself, how can my own life make a difference for truth, compassion, selflessness in this world? It is not enough to denounce or even to try to change the world. We have seen that even just causes, if they come from egotistical hearts, they spin out into violence and hatred. We saw that last year. That was the cry of Martin Luther King, of Gandhi, when they were fighting for just causes, truthful causes, and they spanned into violence. That is the same problem. Any social action that comes from an untransformed heart will not do good, but more harm. This is not a political matter anymore. This is a deeply moral, spiritual matter. We are dangerously close of losing our soul and our character. More than ever, let us redouble our efforts to transform our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Let us pray. God of the tipping point, do not lead us into naivete. Do not countenance a lazy complacency. Do not nurture us in false optimism or self-congratulation. But take this as a humble sign that we defy those who say there is no alternative. Following instead your command to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, still holding to your strange hope, and committing anew to the vulnerable agony of sharing in your compassion. Amen.